Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. And before we kick off the show, I do have to give a shout out to my producer, Angie Smith. I love her so much. We couldn't do this show without her. She's witty. She's snarky. She's funny. She's the most organized person I've ever met. And if you feel like texting in some love, why don't you text in and say, we love you, Angie, 877-933-2484. She's hopped on the mic plenty of times during our fundraisers and on the show to pray for you, and we have prayer shows, so we just love her so much. But if you listen often enough, you know one of our favorite monthly shows is Dr. Troy Spurrell, when he joins us to talk about health and the healing process. Well, I'm going to challenge you right now, don't wait till the bottom of the hour, because this is so often what happens, because we get engaged in our conversation. I know you get engaged listening, and then you forget to text in, and then they come in like a flood, like the last quarter hour, and then we can't possibly get to all of your questions. So if you've got questions on health and the healing process, now's the time. Text me now, 877-933-2484. It's super important that you know that Dr. Troy is not here to diagnose you over the airwaves. It just wouldn't be fair to you or to him, but he's here to help answer health and healing questions, to show you that there are sometimes bigger ways to think about your process, and every single step towards healing matters. Every step towards healing matters. And sometimes it's as simple as tweaking a supplement or eliminating something from your diet that could make all the difference in the world. Our topic today to kick off the conversation is inflammation, Inflammation Nation. Not the same as inflation, but it kind of could be, because it's kind of a swelling, right? And what is it? How do we get it? How do we get rid of it? Super important. I think you might be surprised at what Dr. Troy has to say. So let me tell you about him and we'll get this conversation started. Dr. Troy Spurrell is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. I think you're our most longstanding guest.
Really?
Pretty cool. Yeah. We appreciate you so much. So before we get into talking about inflammation, I'm wondering what the Lord's been talking to you about these days.
Well, we're going to start with John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. And for me, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was getting them ready for what's next as far as what to do without him there. And so it really is about just turning to God and having faith when we don't know what's coming next. And that's what he was preparing them for, and it's the same thing for us when it comes to our walk. We really don't know what's next, but it doesn't matter because we've got God. We've got a promise in that as well, as far as what our eternal life may look like with Jesus in heaven. But before we get there, there's a component of faith that we have to have, and we'll be okay. Everything's going to be okay ultimately.
Yeah.
And so it's as people are suffering in this world, as people are struggling in this world, it's okay to identify the reality of the struggle, but also have hope with the faith.
That's so good.
And both are needed.
So good. You know, when you think about they were waiting. They had an outcome in mind, a very specific outcome, overthrow Rome.
Yeah.
And he was trying to prepare them, going, it's bigger than that. It's beyond that. You're going to be disappointed in the short run, but blown away in the long run. And isn't it the same for us? Because when we fix our eyes on an outcome, not on Jesus, but a specific outcome, we do set ourselves up for disappointment.
Yep.
But if we can believe that God's bigger, kinder, you know, more marvelous than we know, we would step back and go, I got to heed Jesus' words. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, and it's so true, because he was preparing them for a very difficult time. And when you look at even the old prophecies that were telling about a king that was coming, and everyone just assumed it would be this mighty warrior with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus said the temple would be destroyed and rebuilt within 3 days, they did not get it like he meant it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took all of everything else to kind of play out for us to say, wow, God is so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you take a step back and you look at the big picture, I mean, 400 years can go by and before we knew what Moses really was doing, what they were talking about, how it would, it's never how we think it's going to look.
Right, right.
And God always gets it right.
Yeah.
And so it's just during difficult times, it can be very, very important to just be okay going through the difficult times and continue to rest in God, in Jesus, and just know he's got it perfectly planned out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to be amazing when we actually get to sit back and say, you've got to be kidding. It'll be like the best movie we've ever seen.
Exactly.
Times a thousand.
Come on. Amen. I need another amen. Somebody got to text me an amen. If you followed me long enough, you've heard me say this before, but I feel like for the person who's not heard it, I do need to say this with what you just said, Doc, is in some of the worst times for me in those early years, I remember the Lord just speaking to me so strongly about the difference between surrendering to my circumstances versus surrendering to God in my circumstances.
Yes.
Because the Israelites, in the Psalms, it says they surrendered to their circumstances. They did not believe God's promise to love and care for them. So they crawled into the smallest of their tents and grumbled and refused to obey the Lord. And surrendering to your circumstances is saying it's not going to get any better. It doesn't do any good to hope. Anything I hope for never turns out. But to surrender to God in the circumstances is to believe just exactly what Dr. Troy said, that in the end, it's going to blow your mind. In the end, it's going to be so much better than you thought. So in the short term, you're going to say, I'm passing through the valley. I'm not camping
Absolutely.
Here. I'm not living here. I'm passing through it. But I'm not surrendering to these circumstances. They don't define me. But God, I'm surrendering to you. I'm trusting. You have me here for a purpose. Give me vision. Give me faith to keep walking. In the end, it's going to be better than I first thought.
Absolutely. Hmm.
So, okay. Amen. Amen. Got some woohoo. Love when Troy's on. Okay. Got one more question.
Thanks, Mom.
I see you, son. All right. What are you grateful for these days?
Oh, I'm just so grateful for just the help. The team I have, my friends.
Amazing
and family.
Friends. I was gonna
yes.
Say.
Amazing friends. Yes. She's saying that because we had a gathering with friends that we're all a part of.
And we're
so
amazing.
And yes. So I'm very, very grateful for just the community again. I said that last time, but also just grateful for God right now. Mm-hmm. I just see God working in it. Just he's kind of just lighting little things for me where I can just see his hand lighting things up. He's making it very obvious for me that that things, good things are happening, and I don't know what is next, but I know he's preparing me for what's next.
Amen.
I don't know what it is.
Just like he was preparing the disciples.
Yeah.
You know?
Like there's something. There's something happening.
He sees
and so
it.
Yeah. And he's letting me, he's easing me into it. He knows I freak out a little bit sometimes when I don't have complete control and stuff. And so surrendering to him and just, but he's also giving me these little light posts, these little guiding posts. So I just love that. So I'm very, very thankful for God helping.
That's so great. And he loves you and he's leading you. So beautiful. Okay. So when I had my appointment with you, I asked you, what do you think if we talk about inflammation? And you said you recently, and I don't want to divulge, you know, but you said basically the labs, the majority of labs coming back are showing inflammation. Maybe speak to that.
Yeah. So we measure inflammation in a lot of different ways. And so inflammation on lab work can be an elevated C-reactor protein or an ESR sedimentation rate. It can be high ferritin, which is iron stores. It can be elevated fibrinogen. And one of the things that we've been seeing is in the last 100 lab tests at the clinic, we've maybe had two or three normal fibrinogens. And fibrinogen is dealing with clotting and stuff like that. So a lot of it has to do with COVID and everything.
98% or so.
Yeah, 98,
97%. Showed inflammation and some potential of clotting.
Yes, so elevated fibrinogen. And so we're seeing much, much, much higher fibrinogen rates. We're seeing elevated C-reactive protein, not as high as the fibrinogen as far as the percentage, but more than what we've seen in the past. And ferritin. So we're seeing a lot of inflammatory markers, more so than what we've seen in the past. Mm. And so it's just, so I thought it was a good topic because we're just seeing it so much right now.
And the implications, I see some questions coming in. Keep them coming and we're going to weave those in as best we can. The implications of being in an inflammatory state are?
Well, if the inflammation is in your GI tract, it can cause anything from Crohn's to colitis, basically a bowel disorder. If the inflammation is in your arterial system, it can cause anything from a stroke to a heart attack, to hardening of the arteries. If it's in your brain, it can be brain fog, it can be Alzheimer's or dementia or even Parkinson's, so neurodegenerative disorders. Inflammation can cause hormone imbalances as far as insulin and blood sugar dysregulation. It can also affect lungs, it can affect your immune system. So depending on where the inflammation is, it can really wreak havoc over the entire body.
And I know we mentioned this before, but it just bears repeating for this conversation. I just thought it was so fascinating when I asked you years ago, why does one football player take the beating that they do and they pop up and they go on and they live a life, and others have the CTE and, you know, traumatic brain injuries and high inflammatory responses? And you said one word, diet.
Yeah.
That's quite possible. Some of these football players with perpetual injuries and even after the fact who live with a lot of issues may have consumed a lot of alcohol, a lot of high sugar diets, where those who are really watching their diet, keeping the inflammation down, at least this is true, that you can withstand a lot more, you know, of the storm in your life if you keep your inflammation low.
Yeah, and have some of the repair mechanisms already there. For example, vitamin D, just that one vitamin by itself. If your vitamin D is high, your immune system knows how to protect against injury. So if you have inflammation, inflammation is an immune reaction. And so it needs to be turned on appropriately to help an injury, but then turned off. And so the things that help regulate that response are vitamin D, omega-3 oils, and glutathione. And so a lot of that comes from a healthy diet and lifestyle. And many people, you can even exercise perfectly. If your vitamin D is low, you're going to be more prone to concussions, more prone to injuries.
Wow.
And I just think a lot of players today get injured more so because our food is not as nutrient dense. They're eating fake food. It's not the same spinach that we had in the 1950s. We've seen the yields of iron, that this a cup of spinach has less iron today than it did in the 1950s.
My goodness.
Because of certain farming practices, certain chemicals leach out and pull nutrients out of our food. And so we are eating, for a lot of people, high calorie, low nutrient foods. And we need to be eating low calorie, high nutrient foods. And that has changed over the decades. So getting back to farm to table, but also improving our soil and our farming practices, getting a higher quality of yield of food is a huge part when it comes to that particular conversation for reducing inflammation and reducing injuries.
We're going to pause. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about how to reduce inflammation. Then we'll start tackling questions, which they're coming in. I'm so proud of you getting those in right away. Appreciate that. Reducing inflammation, maybe limit your intake of sugar and the processed foods. Get exercise. Guard your sleep. Maybe practice just deep breathing and manage your stress level. Those are some things that actually really do help lower inflammation. We'll say a few more words about it, excuse me, and then we'll tackle those questions. Here's the number. You can text 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. I know you're going to see me through it. If anybody can, you can do it.
God, I know in the trouble. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Our good friend Dr. Troy Spurrell is in studio. He joins us once a month to talk about health and the healing process. He's founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. We're kicking off our conversation today talking about inflammation and how to reduce it. But I see a bunch of questions that have also come in, and we want to give priority to those as well. Here's the number if you want to text in your question, 877-933-2484. Just put that on speed dial so you could just send those questions right away. This dear listener is asking a question that feeds into our conversation. Your thoughts on a whole food, plant-based diet, vegan, to reduce inflammation?
Yeah, it's great. So inflammation, whole foods, I love, because that gives you a lot of the nutrients that you're looking for. Plant-based, we don't eat enough plants. So plants have a lot of properties that really do help with our immune system and recovery. So a plant-based diet is great. Now, you have to be careful, though, because a lot of plant-based foods right now, they're not clean. So you have to make sure the plant is clean. For example, a lot of these plant burgers that come from a plant-based diet are full of genetically modified foods. So you've got glyphosate toxicity from eating plant-based burgers.
Wow.
So you still, it has to be clean. It's got to be organic, God-made food. And so non-organic food should be called dirty food or something. We should just call organic food food because it was here first. And so we changed it and altered it. And so it should be genetically modified food or something like that.
And you also said, I don't remember the stat, but I thought you said something like 40% of people shouldn't be vegan. They need protein. Is that the right stat? Or maybe speak to that if you would.
Yeah. So my healthiest people are vegans and my most unhealthy people are vegans. So we do need proteins. If you do a vegan diet and you don't do it 100% or you put too much sugar in there, that's a recipe for disaster because you can undo all the benefits of the plant-based by having a lot of chemical-laden foods. And if you can't detoxify that properly, all you're doing is clogging up your detox organs. And then many people need adrenal support and the protein, extra proteins. And so the sugar is a big part. You just can't, if you're vegan, you just can't do sugar. You just can't do a lot of it at all. And so everyone's a little different that way, but...
Well, they know how, you know, I mean, I've heard of people who go off of meat for a while and feel absolutely miserable and they get back on it and they just say, I just have to have it. I mean, is it?
And some people who can't tolerate meat, it's because they don't have enough stomach acid because of stress, sleep disorders, or a mechanism of dysfunction within their... They're in fight or flight, not in rest and digest. So the vagus nerve is not actually stimulating the stomach to produce the acid. And then... So the meat actually feels like a brick on their stomach.
So, but it's not always the bad guy. It's, again, good to have organic and grass-fed, but meat is sometimes a great blessing to people, especially those who need it. All right.
Yes.
My nutritionist says that I need to eat almost my body weight in protein. What are some healthy ways to get a lot of protein? Is that too much?
That's a lot of protein.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's a healthy level of protein, like per your body weight?
Well, it depends on the individual and stuff too. So people, it really depends. There's too many factors there. It's actually it doesn't line up quite like that. It's not like water where we know half your body weight in ounces.
Sure. So what would be a healthy, different. You know, amount of protein, and what would be the healthiest way to get it?
So the healthiest way to get it is to just make sure it's coming from a good source again. So how we raise our animals does matter. If you raise a stressed out animal, you're going to be consuming protein and meat that's stressed out.
And that's
so
amazing.
The hormones within that animal do impact the meat and the quality of meat. And so, for example, free range chickens that have a diet where a high in omega because they're feeding off the grasses and the earth that is just rich with omega fatty acids are great protein sources for us. Whereas a chicken that's raised in a coop that never sees daylight and has 14 other chickens in within this one tiny coop all stuffed together, that's not the same level of protein.
Interesting.
So how they actually take care of the animals does matter quite
a
bit.
Wow, that's fascinating. That should be obvious, but it wasn't to me.
Yeah.
So, okay, I have a question, Dr. Troy. I have mast cell issues from Lyme that I was diagnosed with 7 years ago, recently started peptide therapy. It's already helping. Wondering your thoughts and if you're using it in your practice. I'm on BPC 157. My functional med doctor plans on adding another one in the future. Thanks for your feedback. What do you say?
Yeah, mast cell is very, very challenging. So definitely, you know, if the peptides are working, that's great. They don't always work. Yeah, we do a lot with mast cell disorder. That's part of just doing some testing today with a patient for a tryptase and a serum histamine. So the mast cell
is not a one-size-fits-all, right?
No, not a one-size-fits-all because I've had the peptides not work for people. I've had a lot of the natural quercetin and things like that actually help people, vitamin C, so IV vitamin C. So there's a lot of different factors. You have to also look at what might be driving it. So people with Lyme, when you have mast cell disorder, a lot of times they have other things that could be driving it, like mold. And so you have to make sure mold, dust mites, and fungus is not a part of it. But yeah, I love the peptide therapy. If that's working, great. And yeah, it's something that has to be cleaned up in concert with Lyme and SIRS and
And, you know, I think because of my story, we have lots of friends who listen and follow who are in that same situation. And if that's you, I just want you to know you're in my prayers. I know this isn't a straight line from A to B. It's a winding road. It can be an expensive road and a heart-wrenching road. I just want you to know I'm thinking about you and praying that God gives you grace, provision, and some really significant breakthroughs that encourage your heart, because it's not for sissies. And I pray that God would just multiply doctors' efforts like Dr. Troy to help people, because it's not, it's hard to understand unless you're kind of immersed in that world and understand it. So bless you. Okay, this dear one says, Dr. Spurl, does inflammation play into severe postpartum depression, or how else do you get better?
Oh, I love that question. So inflammation does play a role with depression. So inflammation can cause depression. So that's a big part of it. So inflammation in the digestive system and inflammation in the brain. And so postpartum depression is usually due to a change in hormones. But again, if there's inflammation that's impacting the brain, your brain is not reacting to the change in hormones all that well. So it definitely can. When it comes to the postpartum depression, if there's anything inflammatory that can be cleaned up, it's a good thing just to clean up. So the postpartum depression, sleep, anti-inflammatory help quite a bit. And then we do look at focusing on the GI tract first when it comes to the postpartum depression.
Yeah, interesting.
And getting good sleep, so as best you can. Because that when you don't get sleep, then there are problems. And think about this. Inflammation is like a fire. What puts out a fire? Water. So dehydration is one of the sneaky things that go in there, because during pregnancy, you're feeding too. And we tend to not, we women tend to not drink as much when they're pregnant. When I was pregnant, that yikes. We like, I'm an empath, so I go through what the patients go through,
except for
I'm not going to do that with the pregnancy
thing. There
you
go.
I'm just going to say, yeah, pregnancy has been rough on me.
You might get smacked.
Yes.
Yeah, but I know, I remember, this is a side note, but I remember reading several articles during the worst parts of COVID that, again, dehydration snuck in there, and that there were a number of people actually ended up in the hospital, they said because of COVID, but when it was all said and done, it was because of dehydration that caused a series of other, just a cascade of other issues where things started to shut down, where they really could have avoided the hospital had they not been dehydrated. That was fascinating to
me. And we are currently, I just got a message from my nurses yesterday that we are running low on IV bags for rehydrating patients. And so it's a supply chain issue that's on back order again.
Wow.
So that tells you when IV liquids are a supply chain issue and they're on back order, that's a lot of dehydration. That's a lot of IV fluids that people are needing right now.
So, you know, just if you're just kind of everyday person, staying hydrated is extremely important.
Crucial.
You know, an occasional electrolyte drink without all the sugar. There are brands out there that are excellent that will build up your electrolytes without all the sugar.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, very
good job, Doc.
Thank you. Am I asking all kinds of leading questions? Do you agree with me? Do you agree with
yes.
me? All right, thank you. We're going to pause here. When we come back, this question from this listener. My daughter has adenomyosis and this terrible pain when the internal cysts break. Any help would be a blessing. And Luke says, and a great job, Luke, not my son, Luke, but my brother, Luke, recommend getting vitamin D levels tested, because everybody's levels are different. And that's truly important, because D can build up in toxic levels. So it's important. Maybe you can speak to that too, because
absolutely.
Yeah, we need a good amount of D, but you do need to know what those levels are. Talking to Dr. Troy Spurl, we welcome your questions, and we'll be back in a minute.
Soldier, keep moving on and lift your head. It ain't over yet, ain't over yet.
Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We've got our good friend, Dr. Troy Sproul, on the show. He joins us once a month to talk about health and the healing process. We love and appreciate you so much. We're both so, so passionate. And I would say Dr. Troy even more so, because he's given his whole life to seeing you healed, seeing you restored. And he is not here to diagnose over the airwaves, but to really give you a fresh perspective on so many other aspects to getting healthy, to see a bigger picture, moving past just treating symptoms, to really caring about getting to the root cause of things. And our bodies are so fearfully and wonderfully made, and oftentimes our health issues can be an accumulation of past experiences, of carried stress, predisposed genetic things that you can actually address so that you can come into a new season of being healthy and strong. So I want you to get a vision for what a healthier, healed you might look like. Every step towards healing matters. We welcome your questions. We only got a few left that are on the board, so now is the time to send them in. You can text your question to 877-933-2484. Okay, this dear listener says, my daughter has adenomyosis, terrible pain when these internal cysts break. Any help would be a blessing, and she's never had children. What do you say?
Yeah, that can be very uncomfortable, and it tends to go away after menopause, but we don't want to wait that long. If you look up, traditionally, they say that there is no cure except for hysterectomy, but in functional medicine, we've been able to work with this quite well by addressing a few main things. Number one, almost like inducing a menopause scenario, we detoxify estrogens. So we will help pull estrogens out through the liver. So a lot of times it is a genetic component where the liver is not detoxifying estrogens properly. So there's a lot of different factors. If your liver is working well and or you support the liver, that can help in removing the estrogens. A lot of times constipation causes us to recycle estrogen, men and women.
Wow.
And so just making sure constipation is addressed can help with that. There is a physical exercise that we do where we teach women how to do what's called a uterine lift, where you kind of scoop underneath the belly button, scoop up towards your chin, and then it's like doing a sit-up or a crunch. That actually gets the uterus into a better position. And although it doesn't change the uterine lining, the endometrium where the problem can happen, it can get it into a better place physically. And then there are other things that you can do to decrease the inflammation in the tissue there. One of the big things is detoxify chemicals that mimic estrogen, like glyphosate and pesticides. Very, very common that those cause that. So eating a diet that doesn't have those foods is really important. There's also it's Rapontic rhubarb, which is helps in the detoxification of those estrogens and shrinks the actual tissue itself. We actually use it in guys for shrinking the prostate, for enlarged prostate, and in women for the endometrial component. But by far, my favorite product probably or ingredient would be sulforaphane. Sulforaphane helps the liver get the estrogen out of the body, and it's the active ingredient from broccoli.
I was just going to ask about broccoli. So that's fantastic. So broccoli in of itself, an organic broccoli, be super healthy for her, but there's a supplement that's more of a concentrated version of broccoli to help her detoxify excess estrogen.
Yes, exactly. And so it helps a lot with that tissue. So even though if you look it up online, it'll say there is no cures for it. Well, we've had hundreds of patients do better once you actually improve their ability to detoxify estrogens. And you have to pay attention to the area, increase the blood flow to the area, and get the tissue in the right spot with the uterine lifts. And then sometimes you have to treat it like a PCOS type scenario where you balance the insulin. So sugar makes it worse. Insulin is better. Inositol and testosterone, balancing the hormones themselves so you don't have estrogen dominance. You have to make sure your testosterone and estrogen and progesterone is all in balance, as well as the area of the brain that regulates those hormones.
Wow. Okay. Luke wrote in. He's such a great friend of the show. He says, I recommend getting vitamin D levels tested. Everybody needs different amounts to reach a proper level. Love for you just to speak to that.
Yeah. Some people have what's called a vitamin D polymorphism, where they actually they don't make the same amount of receptors. So some people will need 2,000 IUs, and that'll actually raise their vitamin D. And some people will be on 10,000 IUs, and it won't raise it at all. And so there are a lot of factors to that. Vitamin D, good liver health is important. Vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, so sometimes people are low on bile acids will have a problem with their fat-soluble vitamins, absorbing them, and won't be able to raise it. So, yep, just whatever you are taking, just get a retest done to see if
this
it's working.
Yep.
And sunlight is free vitamin D for most people.
Very good. This dear listener says, I lost a lot of weight in the last 10 months, over 20% of my original body weight. I walk up 7 flights of stairs 2 to 4 times a day. Daily take 1,000 milligrams of magnesium glycinate, 3 milligrams of boron, 1,000 of soft gel calcium with vitamin D. I don't take any drugs at all, including ibuprofen. I now have a lot more muscle pain. Is more magnesium needed? And I eat healthy, no sugar, carbs, salt, bad fat, dairy, soy, or corn. And 1 gallon of water a day.
Yeah, increased muscle pain. That's interesting. So sounds like doing a lot of things right. There's something else there, though. Increased muscle pain could be magnesium. More is needed. We have people get up to as high as 3,000 milligrams when they're losing weight. Mm. So for women, and 4,000 for guys. Mm. So that has to be to bowel tolerance. Magnesium glycinate helps the muscles more, and magnesium citrates more of the bowels, and theanate helps with the sleep or the brain.
I wonder, too, just about strength training. Mm-hmm. I wonder if maybe prior to this there hasn't been a lot of exercise and you're doing the stairs and there's so much change in your body. You know, yeah. I wonder just some controlled strength training might help.
Strength training, but also if there is a breakdown in the muscles and they're being built back up, then that's an inflammatory scenario. So it could be a completely different thing and not an electrolyte issue. Sleep disorder is still on the table because that might be part of it. But we might be looking at an omega-3 oil issue, because if you have any type of adipose tissue, that's inflammatory. Fat equals inflammation. If you have adipose tissue, which is fat, then you have inflammation. Generally speaking, those people have an imbalance in their omega-3 to omega-6.
Interesting.
So it might not be magnesium at all and more of an omega-3 issue, and you have to when you're losing weight, your liver needs 3 grams of fish oil a day to metabolize the fats from the weight loss.
Wow.
And then sometimes if it's the joint pain and not necessarily muscle pain, as you're burning fat, if your fat is loaded with toxins, which most people's fat is toxic because it's the best insulator in our body. So as we're exposed to the toxic air, toxic water, and we can't get it out through our liver and bowels, then it will be stored in our fat. It can leave a bit of a toxicity issue in achy joints and stuff. So that might be part of the muscle stuff. But and then it could be the lymph too, because as you lose weight, you're dumping all that into the lymph. So if you do lymph massage and the muscles feel better, then it's more the toxic issue. Mm. If it is, you can try going up slowly to bowel tolerance with the magnesium, and that'll tell you if it's a magnesium issue.
Interesting. Wow. Okay, this dear one says, female at or below recommended weight, eat a healthy, balanced diet, avoiding bad carbs, exercise moderately, have always struggled with high glucose labs during my 30s and 40s. Now in my 50s, A1C is pre-diabetic range. My doctor's not concerned. What steps should I be taking?
So someone who pretty much has a good lifestyle as it relates to blood sugar, but their blood sugar is still not being regulated properly, almost always is a stress response from like a sleep disorder or an adrenal problem. So the thing is to see if your insulin is high too. If your insulin is high, then you could have insulin resistance. And there's a lot of things that cause insulin resistance. Hidden fungal infections that produce acids can cause insulin resistance. So if uric acid is high or functionally high, with that healthy diet and lifestyle, then you might be looking at a candida or a fungal problem internally that's causing the actual hemoglobin A1C to go up. It can also, like I said, be a stress response from too much caffeine, a stress response from mental stress in life, adrenal dysfunction. Thyroid not working 100% can also cause that. And then some of the strange ones are things like mold that affect the brain, or Lyme or something like that, but we suspect other problems. But anything that can cause an inflammatory reaction in the brain can also set off that same thing. So it's not always just about the sugar intake. Infection, inflammation, and stress are the top culprits.
Mm, okay. First of all, this dear listener says, I want to thank you both for the conversation. I hope you know how much this helps people. Bless you both and bless you back. Can you please speak about some good natural organic brands for vitamins and supplements? And she also says, thank you again, Dr. and Susie. praying so God continues to bless you both. Doctor for you, Susie for me. Bless you both with wisdom. Now, I want to say, in the past, we've been a little careful, but I feel like neither of us are selling supplements. So I think we should talk about this just because not all supplements are the same. And maybe just talk about a few of the brands that you like, and I'll let him go. I mean, I will tell you one that I love is Thorne. They're clean, I think, and they're good, but he's the expert. So I defer to you. What do you say?
Well, there's not a lot of organic brands out there. There's some that will say organic, but there are cleaner brands for sure. You have to look for fish oils to just see if they have.
I'm not talking
distillation.
About this. Is a new question. So
yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know that. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if there's a distillation process on the fish oil, that's a cleaner brand. If they say guaranteed to be mercury free. That's a cleaner brand. So it may not say organic on it. It's not the same as food where everything will be organic. And that means organic doesn't necessarily mean it's better in the supplement world.
Mm. Good point.
So one of my companies, they're the only company that has an athlete guarantee. And that is $1 million athlete guarantee that they're not going to test positive for a banned substance. So you can still have an organic supplement, but there might be another substance that sneaks in there that's banned and the Olympic athlete can't take it. So that's why, I mean, it's not a well-regulated industry. So Thorne, like you said, I like as well. Generally, they're clean. I use locally here, Nutrition Dynamics sources their stuff pretty well.
Nutridyn is short.
And then USANA Health Sciences is the company I was just mentioning before that has the athlete guarantee. And they test a lot of their batches. Not every company tests their batches. So if you go to the physician's desk reference, the PDR, that's where they list all the medications. Those will be the companies that go through more rigorous processes to make sure their product is accurate as far as what's on the labels in the bottle. That's first and foremost. Then it's the formulations and the cleanliness. And so,
what do you think of Pure Encapsulations?
We use Pure Encapsulations, and so they try to do a good job of not putting a lot of fillers in there. So that is one other benefit. There is not one company that is just elite
across the board
on everything. So even though USANA is the only company that does what it does for the athletes, they don't have the products I need for 90% of the types of patients that we see. And so there's just a lot of holes. So you have to really do your best just to find the companies. Do not buy from Amazon. I'm going to say that right now because the top companies have all found that there are people from outside this country or even within this country that will take the bottles from these reputable companies and then fill up the capsules with sawdust or whatever, just something that's different, and resell them. And so they've had products returned to them where they can tell it's not even the product. And so they've identified that it's coming from. And that doesn't happen a lot, but it happens enough where we've gotten warning letters coming from these more reputable companies. So make sure you're getting it directly from the source.
Very good. All right. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we've got a number of questions that have come in, and we're going to get to everyone, I'm pretty sure. If you want a chance to text in, now is the time, 877-933-2484. Talking to our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl, founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. And we sure appreciate you doing this journey with us. I want you to picture yourself healed, healthy. Just imagine yourself stronger tomorrow than you are today, more energy, maybe sleeping deeper, detoxifying better. It is possible. One step at a time, you can do it. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. I will build a boat in the sand where they say it never rains. I will stand up in faith. I'll do anything it takes with you in my sails. Your love never fails. I'll build a boat in the desert. Hope you're having a really great day. We are having a really great conversation in studio today with Dr. Troy Sperl, talking about health and the healing process and answering your questions. We are plowing through them. I'm feeling like an overachiever today because most times we have about 25 questions we can't touch. So I've got my eye on the prize. I want to get through these, but they're still coming, so we might not. But let's just try. This dear listener says, what causes polyps in the body? Wife found out she had some in her uterus. She had our son a couple years ago. We found out she had the polyps after trying for another baby. What say you?
So that's kind of a tough one as far as just a specific. So I'll talk in generalities. If you have a cyst or a polyp in your body, so polyps are very similar to cysts. It's basically a reaction of that tissue to something. So a lot of times we see a cyst form because it's trying to protect against some type of toxin. So it'll encapsulate the toxin. Sometimes a polyp is kind of like a blister. So if you burn yourself and then a blister can form. So it's an immune system reaction to something. So inflammation locally there can cause that. So an infection can cause that. So it really just, it isn't one thing, but it's basically think something trying to be encapsulated or an immune reaction to something there or an injury of some sort. And there's a healing component. It's kind of like a blister or a scab or something like that. That's what a polyp is. So a lot of different things can cause those injuries. And you'd be surprised, sometimes things like heavy metals can do it. So I talk about mercury and lead, and we might eat something that's high in mercury or be exposed to a lot of mercury. Well, mercury, think of an anchor on the bottom of the ocean. It kind of tears up the ocean floor as it's being pulled along. The same thing can happen in our internally as well. So there are a lot of different factors, but think of it like that. A toxin or an infection or an injury or an immune reaction, something like that has set up a mechanism, and then the lining of that tissue has reacted either to encapsulate, to protect, or to help with an injury healing process.
Oh, wow. We're so fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Pray that God would show them the source of that, with that, what's going on there. This dear one says, Susie and Dr. Troy, a friend just found out she has a herniated disc. She eats very healthy, was working out regularly. What can she do to help with healing? That's a structural thing, but I know that diet, if you're highly inflammatory, probably heightens the incidence of...
Yeah, if it's in the low back, a lot of times the disc can happen if the core muscles aren't strong enough. So, and there's a lot of reasons why that is. Even if people work out, does not necessarily mean their core is strong. I've had professional athletes come in, we've measured a weak core, and I'm like, how are you a professional athlete? But they're more prone to injuring themselves. So a disc bulge or herniation will occur because muscles are pulling more on one side than the other side. So most disc bulges and herniations can be fixed without surgery. Some will require surgery, but physical therapy and chiropractic, someone who's really good and knows what they're doing, can correct a bulging disc or herniated disc. It does take time. You have to repeat the procedure. You have to decompress the disc and balance the muscles. We speed up the process by actually putting people on anti-inflammatory diets and changing their diet.
Just reducing that inflammation.
Yep. And then stimulating the muscles that help the core. Mm. And look for anything that can interfere with that. So there's a lot of little tricks that can interfere with things that can interfere with the healing process. But that is generally in the world of the chiropractors and physical therapists, and then occasionally for surgery.
Wow. Could you ask Dr. Troy if there are any semi-painless ways? I love this question. I love this person. I don't know who they are, but I love the question. Could you ask Dr. Troy if there are any semi-painless ways to slay the sugar dragon? Any supplements that may curb the craving? I love this question because I'm thinking this person speaks for many people, and I just like the way that they asked it. But what do you say?
Painless ways. So
semi-painless way to slay the dragon.
Ways.
Okay.
It's the old argument. Are you going to just come to the cliff and try and climb down or jump off? So it is sometimes like ripping the Band-Aid off. It's just best just to go 100%. But to play the game and answer your question a little bit, I'm going to say there are some things you can do to reduce the sugar craving. So we have one patient right now. Actually, I'll just share a story because she was just in. We have a machine at the clinic called a Hockett. And when she's in the Hockett, it reduced her sugar craving. So for her, it was a body temperature thing.
Wow.
By improving her circulation. So the way to say it is we crave sugar when we have stress. So if you can reduce your stress, you can reduce your sugar cravings. She had very poor circulation. The Hockett heated her up. It's an ozone scenario. And by improving her circulation, her stress went down. She was getting oxygen to more parts of her body, more tissues, and her sugar cravings went down. Another way to do it is if you have a fungal infection is to kill off the fungal infection. If you have a sleep disorder, improve the sleep disorder. Anything that causes stress. Ashwagandha is an herbal that can be used to help regulate the area of the brain that regulates our hormones. So you can do things like that first to start to balance the stress response, and then the sugar cravings can naturally decrease on their own.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so yeah. You can definitely do that.
So there's things you can do, and then you got the will. You got the will, right?
Yes, you can replace it with healthier options.
Yeah.
For example,
mm-hmm.
You can do things like whole fruit and mm-hmm. see if that does the trick. Like, for example, I had one patient who just couldn't get rid of the sugar cravings, and we were working on the stress stuff, but we knew it was going to take a couple months with that process. So we had her get frozen grapes and cherries and blend them up.
Nice.
And that was with a banana, and that was like a smoothie for her, and it was like a sugar, it was like ice cream, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Without the refined sugars, that was enough, too.
I got a shout-out to Nautical Bowls, because that's, I love them.
Yes.
Christine likes them, too.
She does,
But it's no refined sugars. Like, when I have a sweet, I don't do it very often, because I feel the buzz, I feel the inflammation, I don't like how I feel. I feel none of that, and it's healthy stuff, and so I mean, and it's an amazing company, and Christian's founded it. So
yeah, local. They're local here too.
I'm having lunch with the founder soon. So anyway, but I love them. I just think they're so wonderful, and it's nutritious, and it satisfies that sweet craving, but it's got nutrition and antioxidants in it. So, all right, this one. Oh, I wish we had another hour today. There's so many good questions. Ray says, for a long time, Dr. Troy, I've been eating the good stuff, quote unquote. Broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, wild rice harvested in the wild beans, etc. I think something's coming here.
Yep.
Now I've read information from a functional med person saying these foods contain anti-nutrients called phytates that make their nutrition worse than some processed foods like whole wheat and white bread. What gives? I feel like the only good things that left are grass and sawdust. I love Ray. This is Ray. What do you say to Ray?
It's basically how they're prepared and how they're harvested. So I would not worry about that. So if you feel good and you've been eating that, you're fine. How we prepare the foods, the phytates will actually not be as big an issue for most people. So there's always going to be something. Part of it is the processing of it. So again, if you don't take the wheat off the field properly, then they actually have this acid around them. But when you do it properly, the acid is not even there.
Mm.
So it's the same type of idea. I'm going to say for me right now, it's rare that becomes the reason why we have people avoid those foods.
Mm.
Very, very rare.
Okay.
Although it's true, it's very, very rare.
Mm. All right, we're winding down here, but I know we're not going to get to all the questions that are there, but we'll do a few here. What is a good way to detox, then maintain the detox? Oh, my goodness. Nope, we got to pause on the questions because we need to talk about this. You started a nonprofit called State of Grace Foundation because there's so many people who need help, and you are an empath, but you can't help and pay for everybody.
No.
And so you've got an officially founded nonprofit organization. Talk about a patient, because when I met you in the parking lot, you looked like you were on the verge of tears. We literally have 2 minutes left. Talk about her. Talk about the foundation.
Well, she's one of the reasons why we started the foundation. I have a patient today who's in today. She's actually in the ER as we speak. And it's just, I'm going to start crying.
Yeah.
it's tough. When you know what's wrong and you can't get the testing because they don't have the funds.
And the clinic has already done $20,000.
Yeah.
Towards.
And she has too. And she's paid for a lot too. Mm-hmm. And so we just keep getting, I've tried to refer into Mayo, into the U of M. And it's a tricky scenario, but we've figured it out, but we need help with testing and stuff. And so she's fallen through the cracks, and we have a waiting list of 50 people right now at the clinic to try and get in where we feel we can help them, but they don't have the funds to pay for it. So we started the nonprofit, and we'll be we'll be fully funding it hopefully next year. We'll be having a lot of great people are coming alongside and trying to lift up the nonprofit. But it's called State of Grace Foundation, and it was just, she was on my mind. I've been working with her a long time, and yeah. We've been doing a lot of work.
So a couple of things. One, we were praying for a breakthrough for this dear girl, because she needs some other doctors to come alongside and help with this care, because it's significant and complicated. Second is, if you've ever had anybody help you through a time financially and you feel like you want to pay it forward, there's not a website up with State of Grace Foundation, but you can call Synapse if you want to pay it forward, put a few dollars in the nonprofit just to help those who are on the waiting list for help.
Yeah, we do have, for anyone who feels led, we do have, you can make a check out to State of Grace Foundation. There is a website called State of Grace Foundation.
Sorry, I didn't know that.
Yeah, stateofgracefoundation.org, and okay. There are some donations, but the link is, it should be working. But
okay, yeah. And call Synapse if you have problems with that. But thanks for tuning in. Friends, though, we didn't get to your questions. We're going to write those down and, Lord willing, tackle those in a future date. I still want you to get a vision for what a healthy, healed you looks like. Jesus cares about your soul and your human condition, and so do we. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.